With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. Well, look, we've spent a decent amount of time in recent weeks talking about why the time has come for our schools to really hold our out-of-control sports parents accountable for their obnoxious actions and verbal abuse at the kids' games. Now, this, to me, would be the very first mandate if we ever had a commissioner of youth sports in this country. But of course, sadly, we don't, or at least not yet. And right alongside putting an end to parents attacking and abusing refs and umps, we also need to let moms and dads know that if they ever get in the face of their kid's coach, well, those parents need to face serious reprimands and punishments as well. Why? Because just as we continue to see the number of refs and game officials continue to dwindle, we also still continue to lose coaches for our kids' teams. That's right, more and more coaches have simply got fed up. They decided to walk away from toxic situations where too many sports parents seem to have developed some sort of sense of entitlement when it comes to the way they treat and interact with their kids' coaches. And I got to tell you, every week I hear more stories of sports parents who, for whatever reason, turn their own personal frustration onto their kids' coach. And this is what's so strange about it. These are fully adult, grown-up parents, people who should know better, but for whatever reason can't seem to hold themselves back when it comes to getting in the face of the kid's coach. And now, we know that these parents are, for the most part, are good and decent people. But again, when it comes to their child in a sporting event, these so-called good people seem to lose their mind. So what's the result? Pure ugliness. And it should never, ever happen. Coaches at all levels of youth and amateur sports reach a point where they say, you know what, enough is enough. And at this point, I want to introduce you to my guest this morning, Chris de Blasio. Now, up until a couple of months ago, Chris was the varsity boys basketball coach at Saddlebrook High School in New Jersey. He'd served as the freshman team coach for 4 years before being elevated to be the varsity coach. But after being accosted by not one, but two parents in two separate occasions after games this past winter, Coach de Blasio decided to resign. It's not that he doesn't love working with the kids and the team, or that he was burned out. Just the opposite. Chris loves coaching, and soon after the word got out that he was leaving Saddlebrook, well, a number of other schools reached out to him to see if they would coach over at their place. Chris, as you know, Chris de Blasio is a middle school teacher and veteran high school basketball coach who has spent time at Ridgeview High School in Columbia, South Carolina, as well as Crestco High over in New Jersey, and most recently, again, as a Saddlebrook boys basketball head coach. And on that note, Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm okay, Chris. Let's start with the basics here and outline for our listeners what happened this past season. Now, your team admittedly did not have a good record. We know that. But you tell me the team was fairly competitive in most of the games in which they played. Did your kids play hard for you? Did there were any discipline issues? Any grousing?
No discipline issues. The kids played really hard, and we played some really good games against quality opponents that we have in our league this year. There was one, Hasbrook Heights is a quality team in our league, and we actually had that. We were up 10 with 3 minutes to go. We wound up giving up a couple of threes at the end of the game, but it was probably the best game the kids have played in 3 years, that game particularly, and we had a bunch of other games like that this year.
Mm-hmm. So go on. Tell me. I mean, I'm looking for reasons as to why parents might feel inclined to take issue with your coaching techniques. And apparently, you just said the kids were competitive. It's a public school. You can't recruit. So sometimes you're at the mercy of basically who shows up to try out for the squad. You really can't control the level of talent. But as long as the kids play hard, that's pretty much all we can expect from a high school varsity program.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe the parents' frustrations are the actual results were not what anyone would necessarily want. But again, like you said, you're sort of at the mercy of what comes out and what the other teams have. And like I said, we were way more competitive this year, but still at the point when these things happened, I believe we were 3-18 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The results were not what I would want, not what the young men would want, not what the parents would want. So maybe that's where their frustrations boiled over, was because of the actual results, the tangible results not being there, the one loss record.
When you played Woodbridge High School on February 16th, a game you lost by only 8 points. So what happened to you as the coach of Saddlebrook? What happened to you when you were leaving the gym floor just as a game was ending?
So, yeah, we'd shaken hands with the opposing team, and I was talking to their coach, who I'm friends with, and then I grabbed my stuff at the bench, and I was walking out, and the Woodridge athletic director was walking a few feet in front of me, just as security, quote-unquote, just to make sure nothing happened.
Right.
And as we got to the door of the gym, he had stepped out into the hallway, and I didn't even see from behind. My left arm was grabbed, and I was spun around, and it was the parent of a player on my team, and I recognized him right away as I turned. And he said to me, he's got 3 games left in his senior season. You couldn't play him for 1 minute, is what the parent said to me.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, the Woodridge athletic director turned around and kind of was, what is going on here? And I just pulled my arm away and kept walking. And we walked to the locker room, at which time I informed my assistant coach what happened, because he was already in the locker room. And then leaving the gym, we get to the bus, and the Woodridge athletic director was standing there, and he apologized for not seeing the father coming at me and doing something about it. And I said, no, you were fine. You didn't, you obviously didn't do anything wrong. And at that time, I texted my athletic director as we were getting on the bus to let him know what happened.
Okay.
And
so obviously the father, look, it's not like we can't understand the father's emotions. We understand that parents watching their kids, particularly if a kid is a senior in high school and the season has obviously not gone as well as they had hoped for, but that doesn't give any father the right to basically, run up after the game to the head coach, and grab you and turn you around and say, why can't you get my kid, in effect, more playing time? So that was the first incident, which obviously had to make your head sort of spin, like, what is going on here? And then something else happened a few games later, I guess, on seniors' night back at Saddlebrook.
Yeah, so that was a Wednesday night. Thursday we had practice, and we had a game Friday night, our senior night game, our last home game, a regular season home game against North Arlington High School,
uh-huh.
Another team in our league. And we didn't play well. We just didn't have a good game. We could have played a better game. But again, that happens. It's high school sports. I understand that. The game ended, and I walked down to the end of the bench to tell my team to stand up and let's shake hands with North Arlington. And just as the handshake line was starting, a different parent comes sprinting out of the stands, sprints across the court. I wasn't sure what he was doing at first, and then he got right in my face, pointed a finger in my face, and said, "You're a detriment to every kid on this team, and you're a terrible coach." And between terrible and coach, there was a bad word in there,
mm-hmm.
which I can't say on the air.
Right.
And again, the same thing. I didn't react to it. I finished shaking hands. I grabbed my stuff and I walked directly out of the gym. I didn't address my team, nothing. I felt it best for me to remove myself from that situation.
And we're talking this morning with Chris de Blasio, who just resigned a few weeks ago as the head boys varsity basketball coach at Saddlebrook High School in New Jersey. And we're talking about parents who basically lose their minds and feel, I guess, a sense of entitlement or just can't control their personal frustrations. And as you just heard Chris talk about these two incidents where two different dads came out and basically got into his face after a game. It's the problem is, Chris, and I'm sure you talk to lots of your peers as coaches, this seems to become more and more the norm, where parents don't seem to have any sense of civility or a sense of decorum when it comes to saying, all right, maybe I should just, I'm angry, I'm upset as a parent, but this is not the right forum to go and to confront the coach. This seems to be a trend that's happening all over the country. And it, for a lot of coaches, I think they feel like this is just par for the course. It's part of the job.
Yeah, it seems like it. I think what you just said there is what you said something. You said it's not really the time and place for it, or there's a better
right.
forum for it to happen. What's the old rule? The 24-hour rule.
The 24-hour rule, sure.
Right. I think as coaches, as parents, I think we should all exercise that. There is a proper way, right? Call the athletic director, set up a meeting if you want, which I don't always agree with, but I understand. But charging after a coach, grabbing a coach, getting in a coach's face after the game, immediately after the game, when spectators are around, your kids, their kids are around, I don't see the positive in it.
And just to confirm this too, Chris, the fact is that that when you tell the kids or parents for that matter, if they want to come and talk to you to set up an appointment, that you made yourself available, correct?
Yes, our school's policy was to do it through the athletic director. They would contact the athletic director, and the athletic director would contact me, and we would discuss if it was going to be a meeting just between the coaches and parent, or coaches, athletic director, and parent, depending on what the athletic director felt, how the level of issue that the parent had.
Right, and I'm curious. Did these other parents, did they take advantage of having a chance to meet with you?
I had three parent meetings during the year previous to that about playing time.
Yeah.
All about playing time, not about any other issues.
Yeah, I would think that the major concern usually is playing time. That seems to be the number one thrust when it comes to issues with especially with basketball. But it's obviously true of all sports. The kids on your team, and you said, they didn't have a good record, but obviously they said they played hard. You carry what, 13 kids in your squad?
Yeah, about 13 on the varsity squad, yeah.
And speaking of playing time, were you a coach that only played five guys, or did you have a rotation? How did that work out?
No, I'm a coach that believes, and I actually had a parent commend me on it once at Crestgill High School, that one of my strengths as a coach was my flexibility and just finding the right five each night that gave us the best chance to win and not sticking to a set rotation. I mean, obviously you sort of have, a hierarchy of players, but finding the five that would work that night, and it could be any one of eight or nine kids that
mm-hmm.
make up that five.
Mm-hmm.
There were plenty of games where, a starter wouldn't play in the fourth quarter because he hadn't played well and someone else was playing well. So I think I'm fairly non-discriminatory when it comes to playing time in that manner, that it's very meritocracy in who's playing the best.
Let me ask you this, and fans, we're going to take calls about this, because obviously this is what Chris has, de Blasio has the courage as a varsity coach and as an experienced varsity coach to talk about, and basically he walked away from his job because this has become the norm in a lot of schools around this country, especially around here as well. something has to be done. And as I said, just like it's parallel to the problems we're having with sports parents getting in the face of refs and umpires and officials, this is the same thing with coaches. I just want to add, too, friends, and again, we'll take your calls at 877-337-6666. Chris, what the irony is, when the word got out that you had resigned and you were going to walk away from Saddlebrook High School, what happened in terms of the response from other competing school districts? Because apparently you got job offers almost right away.
Yeah, I let the coaches in our area know what had happened. The word got out very quickly, and within days, several coaches had reached out to me and asked me what my future plans were and if I wanted to be a part of their program. And a few athletic directors also reached out and said, you know, we'd be interested in talking to you about what, you know, your future plans are and bringing you on staff at one of those places. So I felt, not vindicated is the wrong word. That's a terrible word to use. I felt that, you know, that these people understood that I was a good coach in the ways of preparing young men and being a mentor to them, and that I could still provide value to other schools with them, with my role as a coach.
Well, there's something to be said about the fact that your peers were obviously aware of your coaching abilities, and they obviously felt once they found out that you had severed ties from Saddlebrook, as you said, you had several offers that come join their program. So clearly your peers in other school districts, they knew of your value as a coach and as somebody who can work well with kids. So the fact that your record wasn't at the top of the league's standings didn't make any difference to them. They knew how good a coach you were. So as you said, it had to be some sense of self-satisfaction, sense of pride. You know, it's something that had to make you feel good about your value and worth as a coach.
Definitely. It feels nice to be wanted, right, in any walk of life.
Yes, that's true.
But, yeah, it gave some merits to the fact that the record wasn't totally indicative of what I can bring as a coach to, you know, to the high school level.
And the same thing.
I don't think record should be the end all be all of a high school coach.
Well, I think most people would agree with that. That it's more about making sure that the kids, you know, have a chance to compete. They compete, hopefully, ideally, at the level of their athletic potential. But at the end, they walk away with some good memories and good feelings about what they've learned, both on and off the basketball court or on the field or the ice, wherever it might be. It's about life lessons. We can't control, you know, how the records are going to end up. But the fact is, we do want to make sure the kids walk away with lessons and values that stay with them for the rest of their days. Let me take a time out here, Chris, because I want to obviously get more into this with you. But I also want to take calls because I do think this is an issue that, unfortunately, too many schools, too many coaches, too many ADs, too many administrators sort of assume this is how it is in the year 2022, that if you're going to be a coach, you have to understand you part of the job is dealing with parents who basically can't control themselves. And that's not the way it's supposed to be, and it has to be stopped, as simple as that. 877-337-6666. Talking this morning with former Saddlebrook High School varsity boys basketball coach Chris de Blasio, who, after having been confronted by not one but two different sports dads after games this past winter, he decided to call it quits at the end of the season. And we're taking your calls about the fact that we have to somehow find a way to control parents who just basically lose their mind when it comes to confronting coaches after games. It's become, unfortunately, so routine that now people sort of expect it's going to happen. But obviously, it's you know, you wouldn't do this with your kid's teacher in a classroom. You wouldn't run into your kid's class and basically confront the teacher. So why do that with a coach? It's just, it doesn't make any sense, and it's not right. And again, we're taking your calls about this at 877-337-6666. Let's go to Ed Ward over in Jersey. Ed, good morning. Now, Ed, you have your own connection with Saddlebrook High School. Is that correct?
Yes, I am, Rick. in 1991 to 97, I was the head basketball coach there at one time.
Huh, okay. So, I mean, you know, you have some history there with Saddlebrook. What was your experience like as the head basketball coach there?
Sure. Well, when I was there, it was my first ever head coaching position on the varsity level.
Yeah.
I took over a program that was on a 66-game losing streak.
Okay.
And then from there, naturally, I had to rebuild the program. The first season, we only had 13 kids in the whole program. By the time I reached my fifth and sixth year, we were fortunate to be in the state tournament on a Group 1 level.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have my pitfalls there. The principal wanted to fire me because she didn't like me. And fortunately, I had a board member, God rest his soul, his name Timmy O'Brien, got a copy of my evaluation from the athletic director. It was a 50-question evaluation, with 5 being the top score, and then 4 being the next level. Well, it was a 50-question evaluation. I got 48 fives and 2 fours.
Uh-huh.
And usually when you do evaluations, Rick, not everyone gets all fives. But
right.
To get fives and fours, that was pretty good. And fortunately, I had a person on that board, Paul Vico, whose son was a member of the basketball team. So he was in my corner. And when this was brought up at the Board of Ed meeting, I was asked not to attend, but the whole basketball program was there. It was a 9-0 vote to keep me, and I was there for another 4 years after that.
Well,
so
let me,
go ahead, Rick, I'm sorry.
But I was saying, Ed, you know, this wasn't that long ago when you were coaching. Did you have any situation where parents, like Coach de Blasio went through, where parents ran across the floor or after a game and got in your face? Has that ever happened to you there?
Never had that, but what I did have was another board member who was disliked on the board. His son played for me. Was an average player, but he was a role player. Came off the bench.
Right.
Well, I take him out of the game because he let on 2 defensive situations. He didn't do his job. I took him out. His father sits across from me, and he puts his fist up as if he's going to say he wants to punch me in the face. So I had that situation.
Oh,
but
my
you know
God.
What, Rick?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the truth and all that. But getting back to it, I was very happy with the situation besides dealing with the jerks there. Because the kids played hard for me. I had a great coaching staff. The town support was great, and we had a super fan, Charlie Hostis, who was like, he was my number one fan. But I actually saw Chris's team this year. I met Chris the first time in 2016. I was also the assistant basketball coach at Roundville College.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris came to one of our practices, which I used to do when I was a head coach. And what happened was, Chris was really taking notes, asking questions with our coaches there, why we do certain things and all that. Then when I'm on the recruiting trail, trying to recruit players for Roundville, who do I see at a lot of games scouting? Chris de Blasio.
Yep.
He's doing the things that are important to make his team better, make himself a better coach. But it gets better, Rick. My former players called me up this year and say, hey, coach, we'd like to take you out one night. All right, let's go to dinner, and then we'll go to one of the Saddlebrook games. That shit's sure fun. So we go to dinner, and naturally they're roasting me of things that I did in the past. I was like, oh, this is hilarious. We had a good time. Now we go to the game. We watch the game, and Chris's team competed really hard. Were they short on talent? Yes. Sometimes that's, again, you're dealt with those cards.
Right.
However, what was appalling was we're sitting by the Saddlebrook parents. They're getting all of the officials. They're making comments about Chris as a coach. And I wanted to say something, but I didn't want to embarrass myself with my former players there. How these parents acted, and it was a disgrace to Saddlebrook. What I don't understand was, in the second incident that happened with Chris at Saddlebrook High School on senior night, where was the AD to keep this person away from Mr. de Blasio, who was doing his job as a coach?
And those are the questions we're asking. Let me get to some more calls, but thank you for sharing
that
background.
Day,
okay, thanks, Ed. You wonder where the AD might be to protect the coaches from parents who obviously want to get into the coach's face. Let's go over to let's go to Coach Z over in Fort Lee, New Jersey. Hey, Coach. Good morning. You're on the fan.
Good morning, Rick. I just wanted to say too. As a coach in Bergen County, which is, same county and basically the same league as Saddlebrook,
right.
I know Coach de Blasio very well for a few years. Before he was at Saddlebrook, he did mention he was at Crestkill High School, and he was an assistant coach at a powerhouse program, a program that I actually took it to my program a number of times. And the one thing I think that Chris is, he is not a confrontational person. He's a great coach, and thank God he's not a confrontational person, because this could have turned out to be very ugly. And Chris has coached the teams that have won. Like I said, Crestkill High School was a power in Group 1 in our area. Then when he went to Saddlebrook, like Coach Ward just said, Chris is at every single game scouting, no matter what his team's record was. He did a great job, but parents and people involved who confront people like this, they don't care. They're focused on one thing. They're focused on their own kid, and they don't know what the coach puts into it. It's the same thing that's going on with officiating. Officials are retiring. They're getting out faster. Coaches aren't going to be around for this amount of time anymore. They just don't want to deal with you know, not only the parents, just the everyday nonsense. And it's a shame, because the people don't understand how much a coach really puts into it. And like I said, I know Coach de Blasio, and he's in there for the kids. He coached that team like he could have mailed it in the second half of the year, but his team got better and better and better, and they played hard. And I am not surprised that a number of people reached out to him to be an assistant or be their head coach, but there's got to be something done. Otherwise, we're just going to lose coaches, we're losing officials, and the high school sports game is going to take a major hit.
Yeah, Coach, I'm glad you filled in the story, and I'm glad Ed as well, because obviously Coach de Blasio goes, you know, beyond the call in terms of, you know, going out and scouting and researching and educating himself to become an even better coach, which the parents apparently in Saddlebrook weren't even aware of. There was no apology afterwards, no sort of like sense from you know, the school district that, oh, we're sorry, you know, was to see you leave. And so, I mean, it was nobody was trying to go back and say, hey, we think you should stay here. We don't understand why we have these parents who are out of control. That, unfortunately, seems to be, as you said, Coach, something that seems to continue over and over and over again, and it just drives away, as we know, not only the referees and the umpires, it drives away the coaches as well, and it's just a head-scratcher why we can't seem to get these parents to understand that you got to behave yourself. You just can't. If you can't control yourself at the games, then don't go. It's as simple as that. Coach Lee, thanks for checking in this morning. Hey Chris, are you on?
Yeah.
Chris,
I'm still here.
Good. Can you? I'd like to take some more calls and ask you a few more questions. Can you stay on a little longer this morning?
Absolutely.
Okay, we're talking with Chris de Blasio, who just resigned a few weeks ago as the head coach of the boys' basketball team at Saddlebrook High School, because two different parents got in his face on two different occasions, and he said, enough's enough, I'm not going to do this anymore. And now he's been, as you just heard, you know, he's been approached by other schools, and he's going to be over at Waldwick High School working with their basketball program. Okay, I want to take more of your calls as well, get more comments about this, because it has to stop. This is just nuts. 877-337-6666. Just a reminder, if you happen to miss one of my shows, you can always find it on my website at AskCoachWolf.com. You can get a replay there. You just go to my blog on AskCoachWolf.com, or you can always go to WFAN.com and find the link for Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. And with Twitter, you can always get a sneak preview of the next show's topic by following me on Twitter at AskCoachWolf. And before I forget, of course, today is Mother's Day. And friends, I think we all need to take a moment to really salute and thank our moms for all the amazing things they do for our kids, and quite frankly, for the strength and stamina that they show and give our kids on our daily basis. Please be sure to remind your children to thank their mom for being who she is on this very special day. Now, returning to today's topic, we're talking with Chris de Blasio. And Chris, you know, I was thinking about this. I'm trying to envision what happened with these two dads and came after you after these games. You know, there was a time where I think that people would be just embarrassed by letting their emotions get the most of them. But there was no such this didn't happen in either case, right? You didn't hear back from either of the dads to apologize or for their outburst, correct? Nothing happened, right?
No, I heard from neither of the parents. The first parent that happened at Woodridge, again, we had a game two nights later, and it was senior night, and all that happened was when him and his wife came out to meet their son, who was a senior, I just shook their hands, and that was it. I mean, there was no interaction besides a formal handshake.
Jeez. I mean, this is just very, very disappointing. And the athletic director, I mean, obviously, and I've said on the air many times, I think the toughest job in the world is being a high school athletic director because everybody wants a piece of you. The AD, was any support to you all? Was he sympathetic? How did he handle all this?
I had a brief conversation with him the morning after the second incident in which I informed him that I was resigning immediately and I wouldn't be coaching the rest of the year. And it was very brief. He just asked if there was anything he could do. And I basically said, no, not really. And that was it. And that's the last interaction I've had with anyone from that school.
Jeez, that's so, again, it's just sad and disappointing. All right, let's get back to our calls this morning. Let's go next to Ralph over in Manhattan. Hey, Ralph, good morning. You're on the fan. Ralph, are you there? Oh, maybe we lost Ralph. Let's go to Jack Smithland over in Fairlawn. Hey, Jack, good morning. Now, Jack, I know that from your long coaching career that we've touched upon this. You've told the story about the fact that you've had one parent actually had a death threat lodged against you, correct?
Oh, yeah. And, Chris, first of all, I don't think we've ever met. I coached at Fairlawn, Woodridge, and Park Ridge, and we many times have come up against Saddlebrook, which always seemed to have class coaches. And, you know, like anything else, the parents are just kind of outrageous. But, yeah, Rick, that is a true story. I had a situation years ago, Chris, that I had a pitcher that was kind of my second string pitcher. And my number one pitcher had graduated, and I gave this kid a true warning that she needed to work. We had a couple kids coming up into the ranks the following year, a freshman pitcher that was actually a very, very good pitcher, a club pitcher. And I said to her, keep working all summer and, you know, get out there and exercise and be ready for next season. And, you know, whether she took my advice or not, it didn't seem like it. And, I gave the varsity pitcher, not the freshman pitcher, every opportunity to win a position. And, you know, the writing was on the wall. Everybody could see it. And, you know, finally about two or three games into the season, I sat this upperclassman down and, you know, we went about our business. I mean, I heard, you know, rumbles in the stands from her dad and possibly even her mom at times, but mostly her dad. And then one day I get a call from the principal. Come on into the office. We need to see you before practice today. I get in there and there's two policemen in there. Both knew me as coach. How you doing? Good. They handed me a letter. I opened up the letter and it was actually cut out letters from the newspaper saying that I would die before my next birthday. I laughed at it. I thought it was a joke. I walked away from it. You know, about two or three weeks later, I get another letter that said my family would die. And they were cut out letters from newspapers, the same way you would see on a mystery or, you know, a police mystery on TV. And I was, and the policeman who was a good friend of mine who knew me very well. In fact, I had coached him when he was a kid, said to me, Jack, you got to really take this seriously. Well, they put a policeman on me for the rest of the season, walking me back and forth to practice every game. And what they did is they took an undercover cop policeman. They put him on the recycling truck. And I told him who I thought it could possibly be, and I knew who it was. And it was the father of this pitcher. And they got him, they brought his newspapers back to the police station, and there it was, that all the letters were cut out of the newspaper. So, you know, I didn't press charges. And the reason I didn't press charges is because I knew this father. I thought he was, in my opinion, a wimp, a coward, and, you know, never voiced his opinion to me straight to my face. And I never, like I said, I had the opportunity to bring charges against this guy, and I didn't because I didn't want to embarrass his daughter. And I had a confrontation with him about a month after the season, and I confronted him. And he actually was following me one night in his van, and I was walking my dog. And I turned around, I put the dog's leash over the fire hydrant, walked back at him, knocked on his window, and told him, if you want to handle this, let's get out and handle this right now. Never heard from the man again. In fact, from what I gather, and I'm not positive about this, I believe his wife realized what happened and left him later on. But, you know, these incidents are going to happen no matter where you go, Chris. And I understand what you did. And, you know, I commend you for walking away from a problem that probably would have, you know, continued with this person until his son left the program. And then there'd be other parents right behind him that didn't like. One of the things that I did at Park Ridge, Chris, is I had a contract. And my contract said, number one, don't ever talk to me about playing time. That's my decision. And don't ever
Jack, just to let the listeners know, you had a contract with the parents, with before the season started, that you know you have to sign this as the mom or dad of your kid and the team. Don't ever bother me about your kid's playing time. Correct?
Exactly.
Yeah. I tell you, the story you just told, again, this is about high school softball, and yet, as you said, it got to the point where the police said to you, Coach, you got to take this seriously because you just don't know about people. And again, this conversation we're having with you, we're having with the other callers, we're having with Chris de Blasio, this is the world now of coaching at the high school level, because the parents, for some reason, seem to just don't have an ability to rein themselves in. It's just weird. And, yeah, we always know there were a couple of screwballs out there, but this is, as I said, become so commonplace, it's just very, very sad and very disappointing. And Jack, thank you as always for the call. Chris, what's a good point here that I want to make as well is that, you know, the kids, we haven't talked with the kids, the impact on the players, the athletes, but I gather the kids in your basketball team, they were sort of either not aware of this or they didn't say anything to you. They didn't know how to react. I'm sure the same was Jack Smith and just said with, you know, the softball player, you know, he didn't want to have any effect upon her, so she wasn't involved. But again, did you hear from any of the kids, or were they sorry to see you go? They reached out at all?
Well, unfortunately, I have not heard from any of the kids, but there's partial reason for that, and I agree with Jack. Like, what's the effect on the kids? Like,
yes.
What is, you know, yes. What the parents saw? The kids saw their parents doing this. What do they think? The way we contacted my kids, because I was not working in the school district, we were not allowed to use cell phones to text our kids or have our kids' numbers, which I think is a great rule, by the way.
Yep.
We did everything through Google Classroom and through the Google apps. And my email was disabled by Monday morning. My Google account was disabled from Saddlebrook, so the kids had no way to get in touch with me.
Got it. That makes sense. Yeah, although it is a little, you know, well, that's probably the school district policy to shut down the email account as soon as you leave. So
right. We talked briefly, Rick. I just wanted to say one thing. We talked briefly earlier this week, and we were talking about like something to safeguard the coaches from the parents. And Rick talked about having a contract. I think that should be a standard thing that the school should have. But then also maybe we need to get to the point where the crowd or the spectators are not allowed to go anywhere until the teams have left the court.
That's an interesting idea, and again, because we are looking for solutions, and that would make sense so that there's the local people who are in charge of security, or the AD, or whoever's there from the host school, make sure that the kids leave the court or leave the field, whatever it is, before anybody can leave the gym. That's an interesting thought. I would tell you, Chris, I've always been a big believer. If a parent knows deep down inside that they just can't control their outbursts, then, you know, before the game begins, they can certainly hang out in the stands and be social with the other parents and, you know, their spouse, whatever. But just before the game begins, I would strongly urge any parent who knows that they have difficult times in trying to control themselves, then basically to go down as far away from the playing field or the court, whatever it might be, just basically put some real distance between themselves and the action, so that they're not going to be in a situation where they're going to start to yell things or say things in the stands that's going to be obnoxious or hurt other parents' feelings about their kids. But more importantly, the parent goes so far away from the action that they can just basically grouse and grumble to themselves because they know they have a difficult time trying to keep their emotions in check. And I think that is probably something. I know a lot of parents do that already, and I don't have a problem with that. I think it's smart because they just know that they just have a very low boiling point, and nothing good can ever take place by, you know, running out of the stands and getting in the coach's face or whatever. And as you said, it has an impact on the athlete as well. You know, that's a real problem. Simple as that. So let's try to get another call in real quick if we can here. Let's go to Rob in Lake Success. Rob, you still there?
Yes, I am, Rick. First of all, you know, this is no reflection on you, Coach Chris. This is, you know, I listened to Coach Z and Jack telling his story. I mean, you're a class act, the fact that you're not a confrontational guy. You know, I was thinking about a few things. It reminds you of the movie Hoosiers years ago. I mean, you know, and understand that the movie and how the coaches, you know, the parents wanted to get rid of Gene Hackman. And, you know, it's funny how a movie was made, you know, 30 years ago and it's portraying the 1950s. And it's sad that you have to have, you know, have to have gone through this, because obviously you're a great coach. You know, listening to, you know, Coach Z talking about your history as running great programs, it's not you. And that's the most important thing. And we're having problems in all things with officiating. My thought is this. I was a phys ed teacher 100 years ago, and I remember we had open school night. Okay, now this was in the school that I taught, obviously. You're going out of your school district, so it's a little different when you really don't know the AD, if you, you know, as well as you might know the AD in your particular school district that you're teaching. But we had open school night where the parents actually came in, met all the teachers, and we had the curriculum set up, and if they had any questions, they can, you know, go ahead and ask us. As well as even when I was putting my daughter through school in the grading school district, we had open school night where the parents would meet the teachers, like I'm talking about when I was teaching, but the opposite rule, and the teachers would explain what we expect of the students, and if you have any questions, here's our email. You can always reach me anytime. Is this something that should be done going forward to prevent this from happening on the sports level? Because it's really the same thing, whether it's a classroom with the kids, you know, meeting, you know, with the parents and classroom teaching versus sports. I want to hear your thoughts on that, and always a great show, Rick.
Thanks, Rob. Good to talk to you. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I think what that's kind of what I was saying before. I think there should definitely be a parent meeting for every sport. I think it's something, you know, maybe you do it by season, because I think the athletic director and the principal and the coaches should all be there, and like Rick had a contract with the parents. Maybe we need to, as you were saying, if there was a commissioner of youth sports in the country,
right?
Maybe the ADs in a particular area need to get together and say, listen, we're all going to do this. We're going to make it mandatory to have a parent meeting. The parents have to show up. The parents have to sign this contract in order for their child to play.
Yeah, I think
so that
the time
all the
has
expectations
come.
Are completely outlined.
Yeah, I think that has to be, and again, we should acknowledge that a lot of schools already do this, but unfortunately, it's sort of become sort of a pro forma, and the parent just signs their name and basically just sort of, you know, forgets about it. But until this time comes where some parent does cross the line and does something that embarrasses, or, you know, the school embarrasses the coach, and that point, it just can't give the parent a slap on the wrist. It has to be, boom, you're going to have to do something to just say, look, you've crossed the line, and now you're going to pay the price. And whatever that punishment may be, it has to be very, very stiff and very severe, in the hope that it is observed and deters other parents from being nuts as well. Chris, we're out of time, but I thank you for having the guts and the courage to coming on the show this morning to tell your story. And obviously, from all accounts, you're a terrific coach and continued success over at Waldwick High School. Chris de Blasio,
thank you.
My thanks again. And that's going to do it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks, as always, to the Zoo Man. The Moose is up next. Happy Mother's Day. I'll see you next Sunday right here on Rick Wolf's Sports Edge.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.